Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
And what we've been doing here at the Wonder Life series is we've been tackling this idea of these two big questions: who am I and why am I here? Who am I and why am I here? Why do I exist? Why am I in San Diego? Why am I sitting in this theater right now? Why am I going to the job I go to? Why am I here? Who am I? And what we've been doing is we haven't been treating this as a self-help group where, hey, you just do these three things and you'll be okay. What we've been doing is looking at some big ideas throughout Scripture. And as you apply these big ideas to your life, we believe these tools are going to help you begin to piece together, and you're going to be able to answer that question as you wrestle through it. You're going to be able to answer that question, who you are and why you're here. And some of those big ideas, we've been calling them life marks in our small groups because we've been going along with this Wonder Life book. How many of you guys are enjoying that book? Anybody enjoying that book? You've been coloring in the pictures. If you didn't get one, you can still order one online. But we've been going through the book, and the book puts them in these things called life marks. And the first life mark we began to look at is, I believe my story matters. That we have to come to a place as an individual that our story, the good, the bad, the ugly, and everything in between, it really does matter. And it really does paint a great picture of God's redeeming grace, but also a great picture of where we're going in life. My story matters. The next life mark we looked at was, I'm unashamed about what I love and care about. I'm unashamed of what I love and care about. And in that particular message, we looked at the idea of all of the things that I love to do, the interests that I have, that God has created us in that way, to love those things, like those things. And really what we began to discover is that those things we love to do really is the will and calling of God for our life. It's what he intends us to be doing right now because it displays his goodness and his glory. And so it's okay to kind of press into those things that you love and you like to do. And we just got to get to a place where we're unashamed about it, no matter what others might think. And then last week, this was a hard one for me to tackle personally, but also in our small group. We have a small group on Wednesday night, 12, 13, 14 of us get together. And we've been going through the series just like all of you. And this particular one was a little bit difficult for us to tackle, and that was, I'm honest about my obstacles and my opportunities. I'm honest about my obstacles. There are obstacles. Now, there are obstacles that get in the way of the process and the journey, but there are also obstacles that are in our way that tell us we can't be anything we want to be. And so we looked at that, and I know for some of you are like, what? No, I got a big dream, and I can do whatever I want to do. Go back, listen to last week's message. It'll help you out. But then there's also opportunities that we need to lay hold of so we can continue to move forward with who God wants us to be. Well, today we're going to look at this last life mark, and we're going to finish off our Wonder Life series by looking at this life mark. I am fully present in my life. I am fully present right now in this moment, in this time. I am present right now in my life, and we're going to see how this impacts each in every one of us. So turn your Bibles this morning, if you would, to Psalm 27, Old Testament passage, Psalm 27. Great psalm written by a guy named David. Psalm 27, we're going to read verses 13 and 14. David being one of the great kings of Israel back in the Old Testament, he writes this, and you need to kind of understand the context in which he's writing it from. A lot of scholars believe that he was writing it as he was in the moment and struggling with some stuff. Others, they believe that he was writing it as he was looking back, and he was kind of looking back at that what he went through, and he started to pen this thing. Really doesn't matter if he wrote it before or after, because the crux of this psalm is this, is that he paints a picture that there are difficult seasons. There are seasons that he walked through where his enemy was pursuing him and trying to take him out. There are seasons of loss, as he talks about his parents. There's seasons of where he literally wants to enter into the temple of God, but is resisted and can't enter into the temple of God. And so all these things created moments of uncertainty and pain and just not knowing, maybe even wrestling with who am I and what's my purpose and where do I fit in and what's the plan that God has for my life. But he gets to the end of Psalm 27, as we know it, and he writes, really, I think, to bring hope under trials, hope under uncertainty, hope as you wrestle with these questions, who am I and where do I fit in? And he writes these verses, we're going to read them, and they're so good. Psalm 27, verse 13, it says, I am certain that I will see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. Now remember, he's writing, and as he writes, he's talking about all the bad things that have happened. But he gets to this point, the end of the psalm, and he says, I'm certain of this. I am going to see God's goodness, the Lord's goodness. Now listen to what he says, in the land of the living. What is he saying? He's saying, I'm certain that in spite of all these things, of all these uncertainties, of all these trials and things that are going on, I am certain that I'm going to see God's goodness in my life presently as I walk the earth. He's not speaking that somewhere in the future or one day when Jesus wraps this whole thing up and I get to be with him in heaven, then, man, goodness is going to be there. Now listen to it. He's saying right now in my life, I'm going to experience goodness. We started this whole series off by looking at John 10:10, that Jesus has come to give us life and that we might have that life more abundantly. And thus we've been looking at the wonder life. And as David writes this, he's writing this idea of goodness. Now here's the thing. We understand that the ultimate goodness of God is his mercy and his grace that comes on our life and forgives us of sins. Right? That's awesome. That because of that forgiveness and because of the cross that we can have eternal life through Christ Jesus, that is goodness. But listen to what he's saying. He's not just talking about that. He's talking about goodness right here on the earth as I live. Goodness in my job, goodness in my home, goodness in my community. Now, I don't know exactly what that goodness looked like to him, but here's the reality. All of us, when we look at our life, know what seems good to us, right? What creates the goodness in our life? What is the wonder life? What is the life and life more abundant? And it's probably different to each and every one of us. And so I want you to look at it through this lens. You're going to experience that here on earth. This is what David's saying. No matter what you've walked through, no matter what you're going through, you're going to experience goodness in the land of the living. Are you with me? Now, because of that, though, there's seasons where we might not experience that. Here's the position or the posture that he says we ought to take. Verse 14. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and courageous. Here he says it again. Wait for the Lord. I'm certain of this one thing. I'm going to see God's goodness while I'm alive and walking the earth. But there's a position I got to take. I've got to wait for the Lord. And in order to do that, be strong and courageous, and wait for the Lord. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word today. God, I pray the next few moments as, God, we communicate this message, as we learn together, as we grow together, that, God, you would speak to us, that we would have absolute clarity of what David was talking about in this moment so that we can walk out of here with something attainable. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. This message is already problematic for all of us, right? David writes, hey, I'm going to see God's goodness while I'm on earth, but here's what I got to do. I've got to wait. I've got to wait for the Lord, and I better be strong and courageous, and wait for the Lord. Here is the problem with waiting. It sucks. And that is biblical, right? When we talk about waiting, none of us love to wait, right? It's just problematic. Waiting, I don't want to wait. I want something now. I want it here. I don't want to have to wait. But here's what we got to understand. When the Bible talks about waiting, in every single moment of Scripture, when it talks about waiting, it talks about literally a posture of waiting. And if we understand how we are to wait, waiting starts to suck a little bit less. Are you with me? And my mom is cringing every time I say suck. Sorry, Mom. She's old school. It's about a position as we begin to wait. Much like your family, my family doesn't like to wait for things, and we like to host people over to our house and have people over and hang out. And I remember a couple weeks back, we were going to have some church friends over, and my family loves to hang out with them, and my kids get so excited when they're coming over. And so we tell our kids, hey, we're having friends over. And they're like, yes. And they're like, what do we need to do? And I was like, you need to clean the house. Come on, somebody, right? When they get excited about friends that are coming over, I use that as leverage every single time. It's time to clean the house. Sometimes I even lie to them, say people are coming over just so they clean the house. I ask for forgiveness later, though, so it's okay. And so they were, man, they went through and they're cleaning the bathroom, they're cleaning the bedrooms, and they're just so excited for the friends that are coming over. And so while they're waiting for them, they're doing all of these things and getting, all of a sudden they get done and they come down like, Mom, Dad, we're done. And they're like, awesome. And then they sit down and like 10 minutes go by and they're like, hey, when are they going to be here? We've been waiting forever. And I'm like, in 2 more hours? And they're like, well, what are we supposed to do? I'm like, wash the windows. Come on, somebody, right? And so they get out there, they start scrubbing the windows. And here's what we got to understand about waiting. Waiting that the Bible talks about takes a posture. And the posture is this: it's waiting with preparation, waiting with expectancy, that so much so that it causes me to be active right now. Just like my kids who are sitting there like, what are we going to do? We're going to clean. We're going to get the place ready. Waiting in the scripture is not just like, oh, I'm just waiting. It's going to happen. Something's going to be. No, the waiting is I'm so excited, so expectant that I'm going to do something and be active right now to prepare for the moment. Are you with me this morning? That's the waiting. But we don't like to wait. But here's what I've come to discover when it comes to living the wonder life, that we have to learn what David is talking about in Psalm 27. We've got to wait for the Lord. Be strong, good courage. Wait for the Lord. Waiting is a part of getting to the wonder life. Waiting is me being fully present in my life. I cannot wait in my past. It's gone. It's over. I can't wait in my future. It hasn't happened yet. So for me to be fully present right now in my life, it requires me to wait. Wait. And David understood this, and so he began to encourage us to wait. Because here's the deal, there's something so powerful about the idea of waiting. Something so powerful. Because if I'm waiting on God and I'm present in this life, I don't miss what he's doing right now. I don't miss what he's doing right now. See, too many of us think to ourselves that, man, when I get here or I get there or this thing happens, then boom. And we live that way. We miss what God's doing right now. I'm reminded of a guy named Abraham, and you can just jot this down and check out the story later. Abraham, in Genesis chapter 22, Abraham, one of the wealthiest dudes of all times, man, had a lot going on for himself and gets a son, a promised son from the Lord. And God shows up to Abraham and says, hey, Abraham, I want you to do this. I want you to take your one and only son and I want you to sacrifice him. Now, we can't go too deep into that, but just know this, that was a type and a shadow of the New Testament where God sends his one and only son, Jesus Christ, and sacrifices him on the cross. But here, going back to Abraham, it's real time. He's not looking at this like, hey, this is a foreshadow of what's going to happen in the New Testament. This is great. This is a real dad with a real son. And God speaks to him and says, I want you to take your one and only son, and I want you to sacrifice. So in obedience, Abraham's like, okay, you gave me the son. You give, you take away. I guess you can do that. And so he takes the son to a designated spot, and they build an altar. Son helps build the altar. Can you imagine that? And then Abraham ties him up, puts him on the altar, and is about to sacrifice him. And as he's got the knife raised, and the Bible paints this beautiful picture, the knife is raised, all of a sudden God says, stop! And because Abraham is present in his life, because Abraham had learned to hear the voice of God by waiting on God, in this moment of about ready to sacrifice Isaac, the Bible says that God tells him to stop, and the Bible says that there was a ram caught in the thickets. And Abraham discovers that ram caught in the thickets, and God says, switch it out. Because I know that you will obey me and do whatever I ask you to do, I don't want you to sacrifice your son. Instead, I've given you a miraculous provision. Now, I know this for a fact. If not both, there was at least one person in that scenario that was super happy that Abraham was present in his life. And that man's name was Isaac. He was super thankful. Dad, I'm so glad that you did the Wonder Life series and you learned to be present in the moment. and they switched it out. My question to us today is this, is what rams are we missing? Because we're not living in the present moment. What supernatural provisions from God are all around us? Church, they're all around us. God is providing right now. God is showing up right now. God is doing miraculous things right now all around you. And all you have to do is be present right now in the moment to see it. Unfortunately, too many people either live in their past or live in their future. There's several different types of people. You have two of them in your notes. As I was praying this morning, God just showed me a third one, but I'll share these with you. People that aren't living present in their life, people that aren't living in the now, people that aren't waiting, are those that are living in their past. The first one, living in their past. People that live in their past. Some of us do that. We think back to the good old days, right? Like, man, I remember way back when and we did this, or I encounter people like this a lot. Hey, pastor, you know what we need to do at our church? I'm like, what? Well, we used to do this back at my church 15 years ago, and it was really awesome. I'm like, why aren't you still at that church? And people want to go back to this moment of glory, this moment of success, this moment where, man, it just felt so good and so right. But these people miss out on what God is doing right now. But it's not just the success moments. There are some of us sitting here today that we are living in our past, and we're not living in the glory days. We're living in the regrets, living as victims, right? Those things that happen to us, well, man, life would be so much better if that didn't happen. If I didn't grow up in that family or have that brother or that sister. And we live a victim's mentality life. And that we will never be able to achieve, we'll never be able to dream, we'll never be able to do because of something that happened to me right back here. We're living in our past. Listen to me, we cannot allow our past to determine the future that God has for us. We cannot allow past moments of pain or even past moments of success to tell us where we're going in life. We need to be present in our life right now. But it's not just those that live in their past, it's those that live too far into their future. These people are the ones that are like, you know, when this happens, then life will be really good. When I get that job, when I move to that neighborhood, when I live in that home, when I'm no longer single and married, when I make more money, when the church gets to this size, somebody with me this morning, and we're living way out in the future and thinking that, man, somewhere when I get there, then things begin to happen. But it's not, some people go like way into the future. Like the hyper-Christians, right? Like, man, when Jesus just returns. And they're missing out on life all around them right now. Living so far beyond. These people miss out. They're not present in their life. But you know, there's another one. As I was praying this morning, God just showed me. There's a third type of person that's missing out right now. Just go to a coffee or a shop or a cafe, you'll see them. This is a phone, by the way. What's happening on Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter, Pinterest, I don't know, Flipboard, whatever you have, right? People that miss out on the now are people that are living through the lens of somebody else. They're living through somebody else, and they're just flipping around like, oh, man, that dude's burger looks so much better than the one I just had, right? Or they're posting pictures of them and all their friends. You're like, oh, you start counting them, zooming in. Well, they had 17 friends at their party. I only had 14. Oh, it's getting real in here now, huh? And we miss out on what God's doing right now in our life because we're living through the lens of somebody else. You with me this morning, church? So what do we need to do to be present in our life? We need to learn from Psalm 27. Wait on the Lord. Be strong and courageous. You know what's funny to me? Is there's a couple times that Scripture uses that word strong and courageous. One is when they're going in to take over 10 cities to get to their promised land. hey guys, you're going to go in, you're going to take out all these cities, be strong and courageous. The other is waiting on the Lord. Hey, be strong and courageous. Same words. Which one has more difficulty? What do we need to do? Let me give you a couple of things here that I see from the guy that wrote Psalm 27. David being the guy that wrote Psalm 27. And if we were to look at another story in Scripture, and I'll just give it to you and you can read it later, but it's 1 Samuel 16, 1 through 13. And the guy that wrote Psalm 27, 13 and 14 knew something about waiting. 1 Samuel 16, 1 through 13 is the story about David getting anointed to be king. Anybody ever read that story before? If not, jot it down, read it later today. Super great story. David knew something about waiting because even when the other people got called to the party and one of them was going to get chosen to be anointed, David was actively waiting. He was still working in the field watching the sheep. And it wasn't until they called him by name and brought him up that they anointed him to be king. Where was he? He was just out doing what he knew he should be doing. And he gets anointed to be king. Now here's the thing. He gets anointed to be king, and some 22 years later, he actually gets to be king. I don't know if you heard me. He gets anointed to be king, and some 22 years later, he actually gets to become king. Wait for the Lord. It gives new meaning to it, doesn't it? Because some of us hear from God and we're like 22 seconds later. But God, you spoke this to me. And I've been waiting for 22 seconds. I don't see it happening. God, what's going on? 22 years. Wait for the Lord. Man. So what can we glean from David's life? Let me give you a couple things real quickly. First thing is this. We're going to learn to wait and to be present in our life. Things you see in David's life. Number one, you got to have patience. Be patient. Patient. And much like with the word waiting, I've discovered something about patience. It sucks. Don't like it. And here's why we don't like it. Now, I referenced this a couple of weeks ago. I made an analogy with Legos, and I didn't have a prop. And then I was at a conference this last week with our team. We had a great time at a conference. And the whole conference was called Identity Theft, talking about who you are and why you're here. Think God's trying to communicate something to Canvas Church? And this dude actually brought a prop, and I'm like, I'm going to get me a prop. And I realized why I didn't get a prop sooner, because Legos are expensive. I went to pick this up, and I'm like, hello, credit card. Like, I mean, expensive. But here's the problem with waiting. Because we need patience, and here's why. Because we walk in, and God says, hey, I want you to be this. And I had so much fun at Toys R Us yesterday when I went to pick this up, because there's the kids just walking, drool coming down their face, looking at all the pictures like this. And we get this, and we're like, yes, that's what I want, God. That is beautiful. I want this thing. And then we get it home, and we open it up, and this doesn't exist. It's not there. Because I look at this, and I'm like, that is one bad AT-AT. Come on, somebody. How many of you guys watch Star Wars, right? Like, that is awesome. And then we open it up because we don't read the front. And it has 1,376 pieces. I see one piece. I don't see 1,376 pieces. I see that, and I like that, and I want that. Wait for the Lord. There is 1,376 opportunities to fail. There is 1,376 moments of obedience. There are 1,376 moments of... Is somebody with me? Because the reality is this, is we want that. We open it up. We're like, ah! But then who needs the instructions? It just snaps together. Can't be that hard. And so because we don't follow the instructions, i.e. Bible, we no longer have 1,376 moments. We have 2,784 moments. Are you with me? Because we got to take it apart. I want that. But that means I've got to do what? How many? And so you know what we do? We start off strong. Maybe even a little courageous. And then about 15 pieces in, come on, somebody. Dad? I want that. Or here's the other thing we do. We like, you know what? I don't know if I really want that. This one looks good. This one? 294 pieces. I like that one. Somebody with me this morning? And we start exchanging God's vision for our own vision. Because it seems a lot easier. We need patience. Patience. The process, the pain in the midst of pursuing what God has for us. What about me? Am I patiently waiting? Patiently. Second thing we see in David's life, and these are just several things. One is repentance. Repentant. He was repentant. And because here's the thing, David was not like, I mean, we read about him and it's like David was a great king. He was a man after God's own heart, but we don't read all of the in-between stuff. We just do the highlight reel. Great king, did some awesome stuff, man after God's heart, yes. But you know that there were 1,376 times, moments, frustrations. A lot of them brought on by himself. Some pretty big key ones that I'm reminded of is when he committed adultery with Bathsheba and then murdered Bathsheba's husband so he could marry her. But here's the thing. We would look at that and say, that disqualifies him from being a man after God's own heart. That ain't fair. But see, God's not looking for perfection. He's looking for people that will be willing to repent. And see, when we talk about repentance, oftentimes we talk about gross sins in our life and we need to repent from that and get right. But what about repenting when God says, hey, here's what I have for you, and we begin to take things into our own hands and so we have pieces left over, or we begin to take things into our hands and we say, I like this better because this is easier. What about when we begin to exchange God's dream for our own dream because our own dream seems more obtainable? Somebody with me? We need to repent. God, forgive me. Here's the thing. God's not looking for you to be perfect. He's not looking for you. He just wants you to walk humbly and walk, you know, in forgiveness and walk in repentance. Brokenness. That's why we have Psalm 51. Great psalm. David writes this whole psalm, his repentance for his sin. We've got to be patient. We've got to have repentance. And here's another good one. Number three, we should be humble. Humble. I talked a little bit about last week. Humble, having an accurate estimation of who you are. Humility. David, man, he expresses this humility not only in his repentance, not only in his brokenness, but if you write this one down, 2 Samuel 17, 18 through 20, as David is reflecting, he's thinking about all this stuff, and he literally comes to this moment where he says, man, who am I, God? That you would bless me with this. Who am I, God, that I would have this kingdom? Who am I that you would allow me to build what I'm building? He was walking humbly, and I think we need to be humble if we're going to wait effectively. Because here's the thing. We see the picture, we're like, got it. Not a problem. I'm there. rather than saying, God, if you want me to become this, I am going to need all of you. I am going to need your strength. I'm going to need your, God, I need you. I'm going to need to surround myself with people. Humility. 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 Accepting the dream that God has given you. Or let me just reverse, because when we go this way, when we talk about, yeah, I don't want to exchange that for this, how about we take it the other way for a moment? What if God says, hey, this is what I got for your life? And you're like, I like this one. I like that picture better. I can do this. 1,003, we got this, God. I want that one. And God's saying, no, son, daughter, this is you. This is what I want you to be. What is wrong with that? What about just walking in humility and being like, yes, God, I can only be that which you've created me to be. And if that's what you want me to be, I'm there. But sometimes we look at them on the shelf together. And we're like, I mean, what kid goes into the Lego section is like, I want this one. I want that one. But God's saying, no, this is you. Son, daughter, and that's brilliant. And that's beautiful. And pastor needs to hurry up and finish his message. That is awesome. What about walking in humility and embracing the person God wants you to be? Who am I? Who am I? Number four, I'm going to give you two more here and we'll bring it to a close. Number four, loyal. Loyal. Loyalty. I was actually at a conference and we were talking about so many of these aspects. I'm pulling pieces for, because here's the thing, when a pastor takes time to go away to a conference, a lot of times he's thinking about the weekend. He's like, man, when am I going to have time to prepare? But then God shows up and all these other pastors prepare the message for you. Come on, somebody. Loyalty. Loyalty. You know, it speaks in conjunction with loyalty is honor. David knew what it was to honor and to bring loyalty to who he was, who he was under, and where he was at. Loyalty. Bringing loyalty in the season. If you want to be present right now in your life, it's going to require you to bring honor and loyalty to others. Your employer, what about being loyal and showing up and giving your all? Your family, your spouse, your ministry. Because you know what loyalty does? Loyalty speaks volumes of the kingdom of God. It speaks gratitude. It speaks gratefulness. Like, I would not be here if it wasn't for. Wouldn't be here. You know, I wouldn't be in ministry today if it wasn't for the people that I worked under. I would not have this platform. We would not be building this church had it not been for all the incredible people that God has put in my life. And sometimes those incredible people, if you look at the story of David, feel a little bit like a Saul. If you look back, Saul, man, was trying to kill David, even though the anointing of God came upon David by the prophet of God. And here is Saul trying to take David out. And David had opportunities. One opportunity, it speaks of in 1 Samuel 24 when they were in a cave. Saul comes in, takes to take care of some business. David sees him, has every opportunity to destroy him right there. But it's where this phrase comes. It says, I will not touch the Lord's anointed. I will not touch the one that is before me. Talk about loyalty. And every single one of us will have opportunities to learn that. In the waiting moments. 22 years. Never forget my very first ministry opportunity right here in San Diego at a great church just down the road that still exists today. Doing great, thriving. I showed up on the scene about 6-7 months into the church plant. Gave 6 years of my life. Saw God do incredible things. God began to put it on my heart, I want you to plant a church. And I'm like, yeah. I would present that church to my pastor. My pastor would take that and he would digest it. And he would come back and say, Ben, I love you, but that's not going to happen. I'm like, what? I've been waiting 22 days. What do you mean this isn't going to happen? Here's your options. One, you can stay and work here forever and maybe one day take the church. But that's not what God showed me. Okay, well, option two, you can move 2 hours from here and we'll support that and we'll just... It's like, is there like an in-between option? 2 hours. If I go 2 hours west, I'm in the middle of the ocean. Come on, somebody. If I go 2 hours south, I'm in Mexico and I don't feel like I'm called to be a missionary. If I go 2 hours east, I'm going to die because it's really hot. If I go 2 hours north, I'm like Los Angeles somewhere. I'm like, man. No, I'm pretty sure God called me to San Diego. Is there like a third option? Yeah, the third option is you can leave here and go work in another church somewhere else. None of those options. Looked like that. Oh, this is just part 175 of 1,376. Dang it. But you know what I did? I honored the pastor. Yeah. She said, Ben, if you go plant right now in this city with who you are to this church, you will destroy the church you're currently in. Listen to me. I wanted that. I could have left right then in that moment. And yeah, a lot of people would have came. And now here we are, 9 years later, after arson, 5 break-ins, and 6 moves. And I guarantee you, if I would have left then, I would have had a ton of people. And we'd be much larger than we are now. But I'm reminded of a verse that says, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. Oh, and listen to me. It wasn't as easy as I'm telling you today. I was on the phone with my parents. My parents were like, no, you're wrong, Ben. Listen to the pastor. I disowned my parents, got some new ones. They said the same thing to me, so I disowned them, went back to my original parents. Now, you can't go wrong with honoring. You can't go wrong with loyalty. It might take you much longer to get there. You could skip a step. And at the end, you'll think it looks like that. But that one piece that's missing, touch that, it all falls apart. What about you? Where are you at? Who in your life do you need to bring honor to? Who in your life do you need to be loyal to? Lastly, faith. Faith, go ahead and stand to your feet because I need to wrap up because I'm 3 minutes over. You're probably as hungry as I am. Plus, there's some football games happening here shortly. Faith. It's not just enough to wait 22 years. And yeah, those moments of patience, man, they are so key. But I have to believe that even in those moments of waiting, those moments of patience, that David had to go back to the day that he was anointed king. To the day that the prophet bypassed all of his brothers, pulled him out of the field where he was herding sheep and said, no, you're the one. He had to go back to the grand picture. He had to remember that thing. And that was faith as he began to look to that moment when he said, God, this is what you spoke to me. I'm not going to settle for something I'm not. I'm not going to settle for something different. No, I'm going to lay hold of that where you have laid hold of me. I'm going to go after that thing. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know something, that we need to have enough faith to go after that which God has laid before us. That we have to believe that with God all things are possible. That with God that there is a miracle in motion in our life. That we got to have enough faith that still contends for the things that God wants us to contend for. That we have to have enough faith that although right now it might not look like this, the marriage might not look like this, but that we would have enough faith to go back to the creator of that and say, God, with you all things are possible. Oh, it might not look like my son and daughter is serving Jesus right now, but with God all things are possible. Oh, there might be some sickness and some disease things that have tried to get in and tried to divert this picture, but come on, I serve a God of miracles. I serve a God that can do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ask, think, or imagine. We need to have a faith. Listen to me. The greatest thing that robs us of our faith is yesterday. Yesterday's failures, yesterday's successes, but I'm not living in my past. I'm going to live present in the moment, and I'm going to learn from a man named David in Psalm 27 that says, wait on the Lord. Be strong and courageous and wait, and in due season, hallelujah, the picture is going to be fulfilled. God, we thank you for your word today. God, we thank you that your word is living. God, we thank you that your word is alive in this now moment. In this moment, Lord God, where so many of us are living in the past. In this moment where so many of us are living too far forward in the future. In this moment where too many of us are living through the lens and the opticals of somebody else. I pray that today, God, you would awaken us, Lord, to our now moment. That you would awaken us, Lord God, to be present in our life. That you would awaken us, God, to see the rams waiting in the thickets for us to grab hold of and give you glory and give you honor. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.